Hare Krishna, so we'll begin chapter 11 today. Universal form. Anybody knows the Sanskrit?
Vishwarupa.
Chapter name.
I'm
asking about the chapter name in Sanskrit. It's given in the beginning, right? No. It's okay. That was the opulence. Oh, it's given here. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga. 11. Universal, it's not given. Okay. I don't know myself. Okay. Universal form. So, Krishna is going to give, reveal the universal form. It's the first time. Second time, he reveals in the assembly of the Kauravas. Right? So let's read some verses here. 11th chapter, universal.
First time was in assembly of Kaurava, right? This is the second time.
Oh yeah, because peace discussion happens first. Yeah, that's
good.
Yes. Okay. So let's read the verse number 1. Arjuna uvacha madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyatma samnitam tat yoktam vachastena mohoyam vigato mama. Arjuna said, by my hearing the instructions you have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. So after hearing 10 chapters of all the opulences about Krishna, Arjuna is saying, my illusion has dispelled. So what was Arjuna's illusion? Let's read the last paragraph. Now as far as Arjuna is concerned.
Now, as far as Arjuna is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means that Arjuna no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. Arjuna is very enlightened and is glad that he has such a great friend as Krishna. But now he is thinking that although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. So, in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. Actually, when one sees the universal form of Krishna, one becomes frightened like Arjuna. But Krishna is so kind that after showing it, he converts himself again to his original form. Arjuna agrees to what Krishna has several times said. Krishna is speaking to him just for his benefit. So Arjuna acknowledges that all this is happening to him by Krishna's grace. He is now convinced that Krishna is the cause of all causes and is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul.
So why Arjuna, what illusion of Arjuna is over from the purport? Yeah, he no longer thinks Krishna as mere human being, as his friend. So now he knows he's source of everything, he's the cause of all causes, he's all opulent Lord, right? And also he's asking universal form for the benefit of others, right? Who may not accept Krishna as Supreme Lord.
So, Mataji, we can't see that, right? So, just by his seeing, I can understand he wants to see it. I completely understand that. You know, when you see that, you want to say, Lord, can I just see it like that? But, we don't get any benefit in that sense, in the sense that we can't see it, right?
Because we are hearing the description as Arjuna is seeing it, right? So it's as good as seeing ourselves seeing it. We see in 11th chapter now the description, there are millions of faces, so we can visualize how big it is. Like that. Yeah, so Arjuna also becomes frightened, but again Krishna shows his two-handed form to him. So he restores his normal condition. Okay. So another point is that Krishna is speaking to him just for his benefit. So Arjuna acknowledges that all this is happening to him by Krishna's grace. Only because of mercy he is revealing all his forms to him. That's what he's trying to say. Okay. Present, he is also convinced about Krishna's super soul form. He is present in everyone's heart as super soul. So he is full.
Krishna always understands what Arjuna's thoughts are. That's why he already, Arjuna knowing that, he's situated in me, that's why he's able to know every thought of mine. Is that all?
Did Krishna so far explain any time that he's a super soul? What is that verse? He says
in chapter 10.
Yeah, chapter 10. There is one verse, right? Upadashta Anumanta cha, that I don't know whether that came so far. Yeah, I don't know how this particular statement Srila Prabhupada is giving. Yeah, at least in the 10th chapter he says, right, I'm super soul. Yeah, correct. He says, I'm super soul among all the living entities. Can we find that verse?
I'm the super soul, Arjuna, chapter, verse 20. Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhuta.
Yeah, I'm the super soul, seated in the hearts of all living entities. Yeah, that's the first line he says.
Yeah.
I'm beginning, the middle and the end of all beings. Yeah.
He himself has said that.
Yeah, he said that, so he accepts it like that. Text number 2. Bhavapyayo hi bhutanam shrutau vistarasho maya tvat kamala patraksha mahatmyam apichavyayam. Oh, Lotus Eyed One, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity and have realized your inexhaustible glories. So he talked about Krishna, living entity appearing and disappearing. He's talked about creation, right? Beginning, end and devastating. So that's what he's trying to tell. Arjuna, we can read the purport.
Arjuna addresses Lord Krishna as a lotus eye. Krishna's eyes appear just like the petals of a lotus flower. Out of his joy, for Krishna has assured him in a previous chapter, Aham Kritanasya Jagataha Prabhava Pradhyastatha. I am the source of the appearance and disappearance of this entire material manifestation. Arjuna has heard of this from the Lord in detail. Arjuna further knows that in spite of his being the source of all appearances and disappearances, he is aloof from them. As the Lord has said in the 9th chapter, he is all pervading, yet he is not personally present everywhere. That is the inconceivable opulence of Krishna, which Arjuna admits that he has thoroughly understood.
Okay, so this specific thing, first point is lotus eyed. Because out of joy, very affectionately he is calling Krishna. And he accepts that he is the source of entire appearance and disappearance of this material manifestation. Not only that, being the source, he is also knows that Krishna is aloof from that. Not that Krishna disintegrated when he created this material universes. Right? So he accepts that. Even though he creates and annihilates his material universes, Krishna is still aloof. He is a person, he is beyond all this. So for that to accept, we have to accept that Krishna has inconceivable potencies. That in Achintya Veda Veda Tatvara, that philosophy. Krishna has this inconceivable potencies. So Arjuna is fully convinced that Krishna has this inconceivable opulences.
Achintya Veda Veda is like simultaneously
one and different. Yes. So that's what this whole material cosmic manifestation simultaneously identical to the Lord and not identical also. It's his energy, so it's identical. Not identical because it's not like his personal, he still has a personal form.
Like that example that the sun rays is here, but the rays is not the sun.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Text number 3. Evam etat yatattvam atmanam parameshvara drashtamichyami te rupam aishwaram purushottama. So he's calling him Parameshwara and Purushottama. O greatest of all personalities, O supreme form, though I see you here before me in your actual position as you have described yourself, I wish to see how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours. So he is expressly expressing that specifically, I want to see this.
His first part of this question, I think it appears in chapter 10
as well. Yeah, exactly.
How you
yes.
enter into manifestation.
Yeah. So he, part of it is answered there. Now he is asking, next phrase is going, next we'll give more details of, cosmic form. So he specifically is asking for the cosmic form. Okay, we can read the purport. The Lord said that
because he entered into the material universe by his personal representation, the cosmic manifestation has been made possible and is going on. Now as far as Arjuna is concerned,
he is inspired by statements of Krishna. But in order to convince others in the future who may think that Krishna is an ordinary person, Arjuna desires to see him actually in his universal form, to see how he is acting from within the universe, although he is apart from it. Arjuna's addressing the Lord as Purushottama is also significant. Since the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is present within Arjuna himself. Therefore, he knows the desire of Arjuna, and he can understand that Arjuna has no special desire to see him in his universal form, for Arjuna is completely satisfied to see him in his personal form of Krishna. But the Lord can understand also that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to convince others. Arjuna did not have any personal desire for confirmation. Krishna also understands that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to set the criterion for it.
In the future,
there would be many imposters who would pose themselves in incarnations of God. The people therefore should be careful. One who claims to be Krishna should be prepared to show his universal form to confirm his claim.
That's one reason he's asking. Yeah. We cannot see it, but you know, they have to show that. Okay, so in this purport, the first section, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the question Arjuna is asking, you know, how he enters into the cosmic manifestation. So the first two lines is interesting. The Lord said that because he entered into the material universe by his personal representation, the cosmic manifestation has been made possible and is going on. So it's here actually is referring to this, the second Vishnu, right? So Mahavishnu lies down in the Karana ocean, right? Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. And when he exhales, of course, you know, first he glances at the material ingredients and then injects the living entities into that, and then the universe starts emanating from his pores. That's the first Vishnu. And then when the universe starts coming out, they are like small golden seeds, very small. And then Lord expands himself as second Vishnu, you know, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, into that universe. And he lies down, and from his perspiration emanates a water, which is Garbhodaka water. On that water he lies down, on the Anantashesha. And then when from his navel comes the Brahma, and then Brahma is given the intelligence to create the planetary systems within that universe. So the moment Lord enters, the universe starts growing. It's seemingly like how when the living entity enters into the womb of the mother, it's like a tiny seed, right? Tiny seed, and then it starts growing because of the presence of the soul. It's not the generally people, no, modern scientists say matter creates matter. Now, unless there is a living entity, there is no growth. If there is any growth we see, that means there is life. So same, see the how consistent the creation is. No, the same concepts are there, right? So same thing, universe created a small golden seed, and the moment Lord entered, it starts becoming big. That's why universe is like his Lord's form actually. It's called imaginary form. Even though it's made of material ingredients, it's called universal form.
Even Mataji, what I'm reading in the space book for Rishi Vedar, which is written that the universe is constantly expanding. Like earlier they had said like it is 5,800 light years dimension of the universe. Now they are like 13 point some extra billion. Now it is constantly expanding.
I know at least, you know, it starts with the golden seed and expands. I'm not sure after that, you know, it remains at a particular size or forever expands. I'm not sure. At least I know that after, you know, this is during the exhale of the Brahma Mahavishnu, the universes emanate, right? And they grow big and then they start floating in the space. Of course, you know, supported by the... Okay. Yeah, they're just floating in the space like bubbles in the water. And then when he inhales, the same universes now starts absorbed into, the living entities get absorbed into his body, and the material ingredients again go back to their unmanifest state. In that, you know, like all material ingredients go back, all living entities go into his body. Again, when he exhales, then all the living entities go through like the cycle.
Like the person dies and then soul lives and the material body stays.
Yeah, it's like that, yeah. Yeah, so that's the same concept here, you know. He's saying because he entered into the material universe, by his personal representation, the cosmic manifestation has been made possible and is going on. I think that's the point he's referring to. Now, so in this purport, Prabhupada is talking about few points, you know, reasons why Arjuna is asking to Krishna to show universal form. The first reason is, Arjuna doesn't have any personal desire to see the universal form, but he wants to see the universal form to convince others. That's like, you know, sixth line from the down. You can underline, make a point if you want. He wants other people to convince that, you know, he is a Supreme Lord, because he could show this universal form. And the second point is, he wanted to set a criteria for future. Whoever somebody claims I am God, they should be able to show the universal form. But what people say is, you don't have eyes to see it. I will show it, but you don't have eyes to see it. But see what Krishna does. Krishna gives Arjuna the eyes to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So that person who claims to God to be God also should have been capable to do this. When people cheat. Text number 4. Manyashe yadi tachakyam chamaya drashtum iti prabho yogeshvara tato metvam darshayatmanam avyayam. If you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self. See, the way he is praising his question, if you think I am able to behold your cosmic form, please show me that form. This is a way we should pray to the Lord whenever we have any request. Like for example, if suppose sometimes the devotees, they say, you know, please pray for some devotees there at the deathbed, you know, please pray for them. So the way we should pray is, Lord, if you so desire, please let the soul continue journey here. Or if you so desire, that's a question. It's not like, you know, I am demanding the Lord, no, I have this desire, please fulfill this. Yeah, if you so desire. I remember, I think one and a half year back or something, Vaisheshika Prabhu, who is San Jose Temple president, he came here to Seattle. He gave some class, seminar, everything. So we got this association. So we took with the kids, you know, to get their blessings. Spontaneously, he's a very, very magnanimous and merciful personality. You know, where it's like, you know, his heart is ready to give things to others. So we didn't ask anything. He knew that they are coming, you know, they had twins and they want some blessings. He knew that much. But I never experienced that. It was very striking, the whole exchange. The moment we went, he was inside doing something, so we waited outside. So he came outside with his wife. He came outside. He sat down immediately. He started reciting slokas, some Sanskrit slokas. Very, very auspicious for a few, 5 minutes. We were all stunned by the, you know, the experience. We were just like, okay, just receive what is going to happen. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. We didn't even speak a word. He started saying a prayer. You know, let this devotees be attracted to the holy names, let this devotees be attracted to devotee association. So all the principles of devotion life, I wish I would have recorded it. Such a wonderful prayer. All these things, and then finally he said, O Lord Nityananda, if you so desire, please grant this prayer which I am asking. He said, the whole thing he said. And then, O Lord Nityananda is most merciful form of the Lord. So he said, if you so desire, please fulfill this prayer of me. He said. So, you know, that's the way, you know. Otherwise, what happens, you know, because Lord is obliged for what devotees say, right? Because Krishna promises, right? Arjuna, you declared boldly that my devotee never perishes. You know the point why Krishna says Arjuna to declare boldly?
Krishna might break his promise, but he'll fulfill the devotee's promise.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, Krishna will make sure his devotee's promise will never go in vain, even though sometimes he doesn't care about his fame. He breaks his promises, like he lifts the veil with Bhishma and many other places. So, but then he doesn't let his devotee's word go in vain. So that's what he wants to keep. So devotees also pure devotees especially, knowing this, they don't suddenly say like, you know, I bless you, or, you know, I pray like that. No, because they know Lord is obliged to fulfill this. Today only I was listening lecture to Srila Prabhupada. He said, if a devotee says that, you know, you are going to go back to Godhead, then you can be sure that it's going to happen, Prabhupada said. Krishna doesn't say that. He said, most of the time Krishna doesn't say it. He told very clearly. Krishna doesn't say it. If Krishna says also, it's going to happen. But most of the time Krishna doesn't say it. But if devotee says it, it's going to happen. Krishna will make sure it's going to happen. He told. So that's the Lord's, that's out of love for his devotee. No, he wants to glorify his devotee. He wants to not let his devotee's word go in vain. Yesterday only we were listening to this lecture. You attended the whole lecture, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu? Okay. Very, very beautiful lecture. Recordings are there. Somehow I was fortunate that I was able to attend the whole lecture. The whole point is about how the Lord reciprocates with his devotees. So he is talking about this particular incident of how Lord went for the peace mission, right? Kauravas. So it's very clear until that point that Duryodhana is not going to listen. He's not going to change even if I go, even Krishna goes. Everybody knows that. And on top of it, Vidura heard in the assembly that Duryodhana had a plan to capture Krishna in case he doesn't succeed in his mood, whatever mission. So he had all the plans, he soldiers, everything. So Vidura was very concerned. Before going there, he went to Vidura's home to stay, right? So Vidura was very concerned, my Lord, I cannot see you being dishonored. Even though nobody can dishonor you, but the very scene that, you know, you are handcuffed. Like, you know, a prime minister is handcuffed. He goes as a messenger to other country and he's handcuffed. The scene itself is dishonorable. Nobody can dishonor you, but the vision, you know, I don't want to see that. So please, you know, can you think about it? Okay, no, why are you going in the first place? You know, definitely Duryodhana is not going to listen. You know, then Krishna revealed his heart. This is the first time I heard this. It's so beautiful. You know what Krishna said? Anybody know? He said, I want to make sure that nobody points finger at my devotees. I want to make sure that everybody says that Pandavas did everything possible to solve this thing peacefully. So for that reason, I myself am coming on behalf of them as a messenger, even though it's an impossible task. And I'll do all my best to do this so that nobody will blame Pandavas that they wanted the war, they wanted the bloodshed, and they wanted all these things. So we tried so many ways. This is the last resort, so I'm going to try. So he goes there, and Prabhu was telling this is the most magnificent political negotiation he did. It's like, you know, whatever Lord does is an example, right? If you want to learn about negotiations, we should find out, you know, what's the structure he used. So there are four mechanisms usually people use: Sama, Beda, Dama, and Danda. Dama or
Sama, Beda, Danda.
Yeah, there are four techniques. Maybe I'm forgetting the Sanskrit properly. So Sama means just telling, I don't know the exact literal translation, but he starts explaining that, you know, actually they deserve the proper rules, you know, they deserve the war, just give them the villages, you know, war, you know, the whatever, you know, they deserve it anyway, you give them. He doesn't listen. Then second, he uses a technique called Danda. You know, they are actually very powerful Pandavas, and they already, Virata, the king, just now they had a war and they already ruled, you know, they succeeded. So pretty sure, you know, they are going to succeed. So be careful, you know, be scared of them, and just why don't you submit, you know, we'll resolve it peacefully. Then he uses Danda. Then Beda. Beda means creating dissension. Then he starts telling that whoever of the Kauravas will now give up Duryodhana and take to Pandavas, they will be glorious or something. In such a wonderful way, he explains that Dushyasana, who is the most subordinate to, or rather most submissive to Duryodhana, he gave in. He gives and saying, okay, I'm going to capture Duryodhana. If Duryodhana doesn't listen to this, I'm going to capture Duryodhana and give in to Pandavas. Then Duryodhana was very furious actually. No, he didn't know what to do. But then somehow, you know, he again got the Dushyasana back. And then the fourth technique he used is, Danda and descent, Beda, and then Danda, right? Yeah. The four techniques he uses. Then, finally. So he did all this, and finally he told that, okay, he told at least give them five villages. Five villages. Then Duryodhana says, I will not even give them his land through which they can through pierce a needle. Since Krishna understood, this is the height of arrogance. Nobody, you know, there is a way to say no, Prabhu was explaining. You can say no in a way that, you know, it's acceptable by others, or in a way leaves them in not so hurtful mood. But this is like saying a no and kicking in the person's face. Like, you know, you humiliating no. So that's too much.
Samadana
Beda Danda. Danda is
to try to give something in exchange and obtain.
Dana.
Dana is to give something so that you give something back.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then finally Krishna understood that, you know, this is not going to go anywhere. So at that moment when he said like that, he started walking off, saying, no, okay, done. Then there's no more the war, then war is inevitable, and started walking. Then Duryodhana says, okay, let's capture everyone. Everybody comes, soldiers. Then immediately Krishna rose to such a big form. All the soldiers, fire emanating from all his holes of his body and eyes, and everybody stunned looking at him. Then after some time, Krishna came back to his normal state and he put a hand on the shoulder of his Satyaki, his friend, started walking out. And all the soldiers are stunned looking like this. Then everybody, and he just walked out as nothing happened. So,
yeah, Duryodhana says that he is a Mayavi. He always addresses him as a Mayavi. No. He's an illusionary. That's why
he's not God. A magician. Okay. Yeah, so that's what, I don't know why we were talking. Yeah. So what was the...
Nobody blames devotee.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the point. Exactly. So he wanted to... See, Krishna, that's what Prabhu was explaining, that... You know, he was willing to go in such a menial service on behalf of his devotees so that he can protect his devotees without caring about his godhood or, you know, opulence or status. You know, usually a highly qualified person doesn't want to do menial things. Okay, I can give a practical example. Tomorrow my parents are coming. You know, hopefully it's in... So once whenever we go to India, we go to different temples, right? My dad is like, you know... A topmost educated person anybody can have in India. It's like, you know, professor, and he had a vice chancellor post, everything. So he has so much prestige about that. He retired, everything is done, but still he's working. So when we went, like last time, we went to, you know, some of the temples, you know, Bhadrakali temple, like that, you know, all these people. Every time there is a queue, right, for darshan. So there's a queue and he doesn't want to stay in the queue. He starts calling a policeman, you know who I am? I'm vice chancellor. Why are you making me stand like this? No, take me on the front and show me. Why I have to stand here? No, like that. So much prestige and the arrogance is there because of the position and the ahankar, because of the, you know, intoxication due to the material position. You know, just like we can say how we can behave. But imagine Lord has everything, you know, nobody can say anything is not his. But he is at most humble. And especially for his loving reciprocation with his devotees, he can assume any role, he can do anything. And that is his kindness, that is his love. That's what he said when he understand all this, when we go deeper into Lord's pastimes, understand Lord's mood, we will get so much inspiration to surrender our lives to that Lord. As you said, right, this is what inspires you. You know, we can say, you know, this is the Lord I want to love. No, this is a Lord, because we have seen so much love in this world, which always bitter taste. No, there is no enough reciprocation. There is no enough satisfaction. That's the feeling we have. That's why people take to neti, saying, you know, I don't want any more relationships. I know these relationships are very frustrating. I don't want to deal with any relationships. I want to go to this impersonal state where, you know, that's what people conclude. But that's the opposite is true. The Lord is perfect reciprocating person.
Because you said this, Mataji, about all the greatness of the devotees and the Lord's mercy. Last Sunday I was in Harivilas Prabhu's class in the morning.
Mm.
It's not going to take more than 5 minutes.
No, it's okay.
So, there he was saying, Srila Rupa Goswami, one of our Panchatattvas, he was always having the Lord, because he didn't have any money on his own. He was always carrying the Lord on him, and wherever he would go, he would hang the Lord on the tree branch and give roti to the Lord, because that's all he had. He would give that, and once the Lord has tasted it, he would eat. Then one day the Lord asked him, hey man, you are not even putting salt in your roti. Come on, give me at least salted roti. Then Srila Rupa Goswami said, I can give you what you give me. You cannot ask for more. You give me only this, so I'll give you only. So because his brother was also one of the Goswamis, he had this feeling that he had to give Srila Rupa Goswami a good feast. So he was praying to the Lord, can I have a good feast so that I can give my brother? And suddenly out of nowhere,
lady comes, gives this and says, please, you take this feast. It's like, who are you? Why are you giving this? No, no, you take this feast. And she disappears. So Srila Rupa Goswami comes and his brother says, here, 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 take this feast. It's like, what feast? How did you are, I am a beggar, you are also a beggar, why are you getting this? So he said, oh, there's one nice lady who came and who, I prayed to the Lord, a nice lady, he said, she gave this feast. That time then Srila Rupa Goswami chastised him saying, you know, you should never ask anything for the Lord, because we are devotees of the Lord. The Lord is looking for an opportunity to serve us. So never ask anything for the Lord, because you asked, yes, Sri Radharani himself has come to give us. Don't ask anything for the Lord.
Mm.
So that's the motivation behind a true Vaishnava Shri.
Yeah.
That story was so, because, you know, like me, every day I go, oh, today, Lord, you know, this problem is there. What is this? Today, Lord, that problem is there. What is it? Then I look at all these moods and I go, okay, there is no hope for anything.
Yeah, there's a pure, yeah, he chastised him saying, you know, we are meant to serve the Lord. Why are you making Lord serve us? That's what he chastised. There were many incidents they also had, like one of them, I don't know who was, they were chanting in the sun. So scorching sun was coming, especially Vrindavan, afternoon sun is too much. But they were absorbed in the pastimes and chanting, relishing the pastimes. But then they and Radharani, Krishna, they understood, you know, their son, right? Radharani personally came and put her veil in front. Then somebody else, the other brother sees and see, again you're doing the same thing. And the other incident was there where tiger comes, where he was chanting and tiger comes. Then some Krishna comes or something and tries to take her in. So like that, many incidents happen like this. So because they have so much, you know, pure unalloyed love for the Lord, Lord personally comes to take
care
of them.
So where will you get all these
details? Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yeah, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We heard here and there, you know, all this. I'm not reading Chaitanya Charitamrita yet. But we have heard these pastimes. They're very, very popular. Okay. So that's you know, the mood of the prayer that it you know, says that Lord, if you so desire, if you think I am capable, please grant me this. Okay, so that's first one. And then did we read the whole purport? No, right?
No.
Okay, we can read a purport.
It is said that one can neither see, hear, understand, nor perceive the Supreme Lord Krishna by the material senses. But if one is engaged in loving transcendental service to the Lord from the beginning, then one can see the Lord by revelation. Every living entity is only a spiritual spark. Therefore, it is not possible to see or to understand the Supreme Lord. Arjuna, as a devotee, does not depend on his speculative strength. Rather, he admits his limitations as a living entity and acknowledges Krishna's inestimable position. Arjuna could understand that for a living entity, it is not possible to understand the unlimited infinite. If the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of infinite by the grace of the infinite. The word.
See, the understand, right, this point? So, speculative power doesn't help because we are tiny. We can, how much we can speculate, like frog in the wall, right? Well, it keeps swelling up, saying, you know, big specific question is so big and it bursts. So like that, we cannot stretch our mind to understand. Only the infinite has to reveal himself to the tiny. Then only we can little bit understand anything about the infinite. So it's all by the grace of the infinite. So it's all by the mercy. But we also understand the mercy comes corresponding to our endeavors to receive mercy. Yeah.
The word Yogeshwara is also very significant here, because the Lord has inconceivable power. If he likes, he can reveal himself by his grace, although he is unlimited. Therefore, Arjuna pleads for the inconceivable grace of Krishna. He does not give Krishna orders. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself unless one surrenders fully in Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service. Thus, it is not possible for persons who depend on the strength of their mental speculations to see Krishna.
Yeah, people say, right, show me God, show me everything. No, see, we believe so many things without seeing, actually. So many things, like, you know, how many of us have seen America before coming, right? We saw a map, we saw people talking about there's so much fun there, so much enjoyment there. Okay, let me go there. We buy a ticket and come, assuming there is something called America. It's all faith, right? How do we know, right? It's all faith that somebody believes, so let me believe. But when it comes to God, people say, I want to see God, then only I'll believe. Right, so This all, you know, different. Prabhupada very clearly, one purport very strongly was telling, if somebody is not surrendering to the Lord, that means it's one of these four Naradamas. Who remembers the four Naradamas?
Muda, Dushkritina.
Muda, Maya Bharta Jnana, Asuram Bhavam Ashrita, and what is the second one? Avajananti Mam Buddha, Manishim Taram. See, not this one. Chaturvida Bhajante Mam, next to it, right? Asuram Bhavim. Okay, we can look up Chaturvida Bhajante Mam, we'll find it.
Which chapter?
Seventh chapter. It's 7.16, so it should be
7.17.
15. 15 or 15, yeah. Prabhadyante Naradama. Maya Bharta Jnana Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. So Muda is the first, grossly foolish people. Naradama is lowest among mankind. Maya Bharta Jnana, intelligent people whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. And people who are grossly atheistic. So these are four kinds of people. Prabhupada said if somebody doesn't surrender, I can easily put them, these are one of these people. Because Krishna already declares these people. It's very clear. We can find out and put them in one of these buckets. It's very clear. So they are miscreants. They are Dushkritana, he says. No, I don't say it. Krishna says, Prabhupada says. So that's why Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself to such people. You know, somebody is challenging Krishna. Somebody doesn't want to... No, he wants to show himself out of love. You know, why is he obliged to prove that he is God? He is already God, right? He doesn't care about whether somebody accepts or not. He doesn't gain anything by convincing others, right? Okay, text number 5. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Pashyame Patarupani Shata Shota Sahasrasha Nana Vidani Divyani Nana Varna Kritaini Cha. The Supreme Personality of God, it said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Pritha, see now my opulences, hundreds of thousands of varied, divine and multicolored forms. Okay, we can read the small purport.
Arjuna wanted to see Krishna in his universal form, which although a transcendental form is just manifested for the cosmic manifestation and is therefore subject to the temporary time of this material nature.
So the universal form is nothing but envisioning all the aspects within the universe in the form of the body of the Lord. So all the universe has, like, you know, oceans and hills, and so there is one universal form per universe. So when the universe extinguishes, the universal form also disintegrates. So that's why it's, even though it's a form of the Lord, even though it's transcendental, it's temporary. It's existing only until the universe exists, otherwise it's not existing.
If the material nature is manifested and not manifested, similarly the universal form of Krishna is manifested and non-manifested. It is not eternally situated in the spiritual sky like Krishna's other forms. As far as a devotee is concerned, he is not eager to see the universal form. But because Arjuna wanted to see Krishna in this way, Krishna reveals this form. This universal form is not possible to be seen by any ordinary man. Krishna must give one the power to see.
So it's clear what is universal form, right? It's during the existence of the universe, it exists. Afterwards, it distinct. So it's not there as a, you know, Krishna form as Shyam Sundar is eternally present in Goloka Vrindavan. So if you go to Goloka, you say, you know, I see universal form, you'll not find it. Like, for example, super soul exists only in the material world. You know that point, right? The expansion of Krishna's super soul exists only in material world. There is no super soul in spiritual world. Only he is there to guide us to enjoy or guide us to come back to him, right? So like that, this form of the Lord is a universal form, like envisioning hills, and we'll see how we can see, you know, eyes, sun and moon as his eyes, and whole form like that, whole universe, and imagine like that, it's not existing in spiritual world.
But here it's there all the time, but he just revealed it that time. So Arjuna,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
like that.
It's there. So this. Yeah. It's there all the time. We cannot see it. We cannot see it like that. Only when even he shows, we can see it. Yeah. That's correct. Text number 6. Pashyadityan vashun rudran ashvinau marutastata bahuni adrishta purvani paschasharyani bharata. O best of the Bharata, see here the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwini Kumaras and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard before. Yeah, even though Arjuna
was a personal friend of Krishna and the most advanced of a learned man, it was still not possible for him to know everything about Krishna. Here it is stated that humans have neither heard nor known of all these forms and manifestations. Now Krishna reveals his wonderful forms.
Mm. So it was never shown, this form. It's the first time Arjuna is seeing. Text number 7. Ihaikastam jagat krishtam pashyatya sacharacharam mama dehe kudakesha yachanya drashtum ichasi. Oh Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything moving and non-moving is here completely in one place. So the whole universe is in one place, you know, that's what is makes it very, very striking, very ferocious. No one can see the entire universe. Yeah, see. We can read the purport.
No one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place. Even the most advanced scientists cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. But a devotee like Krishna can see everything.
Arjuna.
A devotee like Arjuna can see everything that exists in any part of the universe. Krishna gives him the power to see anything he wants to see, past, present and future. Thus, by the mercy of Krishna, Arjuna is able to see everything.
Yeah, so not only at that particular moment, what's happening in the universe, he can see past, present and future. Imagine how much it's mind-boggling it is. So, you can't even imagine, right? Yeah. So, same thing Yashoda Mata experiences, right? When she gives mud, Krishna eats mud and asks him to open the mouth, suddenly Krishna... You know, he opened the mouth and the whole universe is there within his body. She got bewildered. And within that universe, she found the Goloka Vrindavan, in that she saw Yashoda Mata seeing in Krishna's mouth. So she was like, oh, then she felt, oh, I'm seeing things, you know, something happened to me today. Then she said, oh, no, this is my baby Krishna. So, you know, that's what, it's very, very bewildering. Cannot even imagine. Text number 8. Natu mam shakshase drashtam ane naiva svachakshusa divyam dadami te chakshu pashyame yoga maishwaram. But you cannot see me with your present eyes, therefore I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. See, that's what it is. Krishna can give the divine eyes because he can do it. Divya shakshusu divyam, yeah, chakshusha divyam. Okay. Okay, let's read. A pure devotee does not
like to see Krishna in the form, except his form with two hands. A devotee must see his universal form by his grace, not with the mind but with spiritual eyes. To see this universal form of Krishna, Arjuna is told not to change his mind but his vision. The universal form of Krishna is not very important. That will be clear in subsequent verses. Yet, because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gives him the particular vision required to see that universal form. Devotees...
You see the point, right? Why a pure devotee does not like to see universal form? Or any form except two-handed form?
Universal form is scary.
Yeah, scary. They cannot have loving exchanges with universal form. You're scared, right? Scared to death. So, you know, you cannot have loving dealings. Even Lord also doesn't like that form. You know, in that way, it should be shown by to his devotees. No, because of that loving, devotee wants to exchange love with the Lord. So, most appropriate form is human-like form, two-handed form. Yeah.
Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by godless display of opulences.
See this godless display of opulences. It's godly opulences, but it's so ferocious and so frightening. It's called godless.
The playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulences. They are so immersed in the pure love that they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their loving exchange, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They take him is a personal friend.
So one deeper point about what Prabhupada is saying, they do not know means, it's not that they do not know, they know perfectly well, otherwise they don't go to spiritual world, but they are covered by the yogamaya potency to feel as if they do not know. But they, Radharani, everybody, they have full realization that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another incident related to this, you know, how the devotees are attracted to a particular form. Even within Vishnu forms, the devotees, based on the rasa they have, they are attracted to a particular form. One incident regarding this is after the rasa dance, when Krishna disappeared, right? Then all the gopis, everybody, they are searching for Krishna. Okay, they are all searching for Krishna. Then when they are going, Krishna came as Vishnu form, Narayana form, in front of them and standing. Then the gopis paid obeisance and said, then they said, you know, can you please show me where is Krishna? Then he was thinking, oh, I am the Krishna, why they are asked? No, that's what. And then they went. They are not at all interested in dealing with him or talking with anything. Just show me where is Krishna. Like that, you know, that's what it is. They were attracted to a particular specific form of the Lord. Most suitable for exchanging pass. Yeah. So let's read this. This is a very, very sweet verse. Prabhupada recites so many times.
Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami recites these words. Here is the Supreme Person who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees, and a product of potential nature by ordinary men. Now these boys who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives are playing with the Supreme Personality of God.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, in order to play with the Supreme Personality, or it's not like, you know, ordinary thing. They have done many, many pious. This pious is not material piety, spiritual piety. Okay, let's read the last paragraph.
The fact is that the devotee is not concerned with seeing the Vishwarupa, the universal form. But Arjuna wanted to see it to substantiate Krishna's statement so that the...
In the future.
That in the future people could understand that Krishna not only theoretically or philosophically presented himself as a supreme, but actually presented himself as
such
to Arjuna. Arjuna must confirm this because Arjuna is the beginning of the
parampara
system. Those who are actually interested in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and who follow the footsteps of Arjuna should understand that Krishna has not only theoretically presented himself as supreme, but actually revealed himself as the supreme.
So that's another point, you know. Krishna had to literally show himself as supreme. That he did by Arjuna asking about universal form and Krishna showing the universal form.
The Lord gave Arjuna the necessary power to see his universal form because he knew that Arjuna did not particularly want to see it. As we have already explained.
So he even gave the power to see the universal form. So we'll all pray that Lord gives some power when we see, when we hear these verses, that we can somewhat really just see, somewhat perceive it. It's impossible,
but Krishna doesn't, like, because he wanted loving exchange, and that cannot be possible with the universal form. It will be so scary, no one will love that.
Yeah.
It will be missing. So he intentionally hid that thing from his devotees.
Which devotees? General devotees?
From Arjuna also. Only when Arjuna asks is when he reveals.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it on his own.
Yes.
I don't have to tell you all this.
Yeah.
Just see me and then just realize it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even you'll see the reaction actually. Yeah, I don't know. You can, if you want, you can read ahead at your home. You'll see the Rajana's reaction after seeing the universal form. He's completely devastated. He's scared and all his feelings of loving, friendship, everything gone, and now all vibhatsa, he only fears fear actually. He's scared and frightened, everything. So then immediately he says, you know, okay, I cannot bear it anymore. Please show me your normal form. Then he shows 400, then he shows 200 form. So like that. Then he feels calm like that. Otherwise he's very, very scared. Because he sees, on top of it, he sees in this universal form, all the Kauravas, everybody, he's eating. Or rather, they're going inside and dying. It's like fireflies, they go inside and they get extinguished, right? So, all this, they're just, you know, as if he's like a big animal eating. I don't know how to describe. So, that's very, very scary. No, okay, this person is killing actually now, people. What is this? So it's future, right? He's telling future. Future, in future, they are all going to die. That's why Krishna says later, anyway, they all are going to die, you just become an instrument. You know, what is this? Nimitta matram bhava savyasachi, he says. Just become, nimitta matram, become an instrument. They are already dead. You saw already in universal form, they are already dead. You just be an instrument and just, you know, use your bow and arrow. That's all. Everything is done already. So that's what it's also said about the our Sankirtan movement. Lord Chaitanya could have done it. He is personally Lord himself, spread the holy name everywhere, but he spread only in the India. Right? So that he can give a chance for his devotees to become glorious, like Prabhupada and all the people to come. So Prabhupada also could have done it. Or you know, what it, but he left some work for us to do. So if we take part and help in spreading the movement, we'll become glorious. We'll be part of, you know, Nimitta Matra. Otherwise, anyway, it's going to happen. Nobody can stop it. That's the point. Anyway, this movement is going to 10,000 years, the golden age of Kali Yuga. This movement is going to save the world. It's going to spread like wildfire, and this is what people are going to hang on to for their life, you know, material as well as spiritual lives. So it's anyway going to spread. Whether we can utilize the opportunity and use our life as an instrument to help it or not is our choice. You see the point? That's the same point. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any questions or comments? I think now it's calm now. Any questions or comments? It's very sweet, right? Yeah, always these two chapters are not, usually devotees don't like so much about, you know, hearing about opulences of the Lord and, you know, universal form. It's not really so much increasing the devotion we feel, but that's a sambandha jnana. We should really understand thoroughly how Lord is supreme. Then we can be convinced of that, we can surrender to Him, as Krishna Prabhupada explains in that purport, right? Usually we want to hear His sweet pastimes with His devotees. That's what we are more attracted to. No, but this is also, that's why Prabhupada says, you know, devotees don't distinguish between Lord's action in Kali, in Kurukshetra, what role he did during the war, versus his dance with gopis. Devotees don't distinguish, because Lord's pastimes are absolute. You know, pure devotees, they don't distinguish between, okay, this is, you know, fighting and this is loving exchange. It's all Lord's pastime, it's all absolute, it's all nectarian, it's all sweet, it's all about the Lord. So that's the mood in which we hear these things. Yeah.
So he just saw the only one universe, right?
From
the 14 lokas. Not the, like, there are billions of universes and spiritual sky. Those also wasn't real.
No.
Just
no.
This small thing was like bewildering.
This itself is bewildering, means if he tries to show that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll end here then. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.